You're listening to Wet Shaving Talk, powered by Sharpologist.com, where we're dedicated to preserving the art and skill of classic shaving. I'm your host, Joe Borelli, and today is September 18th, 2017. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast today. We have a big show for you, a lot of good stuff that I'd like to go over, so we won't spend too much time on the intro. We'll talk a little bit about Hurricane Irma that just passed by. Really came close to me here. I got a little scared there for a minute. Was worried I wouldn't be doing another podcast for a while, but it looked like we're okay over here, and we're having getting back to normal. I'll talk about what's going on in the wet shaving world. A shave 225 years in the making. That's right. We're going to talk about an article that I actually wrote myself and was debuted on Sharpologist about a month ago about a razor that I actually used that was made in Fortune in the 1700s. We're going to just briefly talk about that. But our main discussion of the week is the Blackland Razor Company. The Blackland Razor Company makes the Blackbird and the Sabra, and they just do a great job with making, you know, real quality shaving pieces that are just awesome. I love my Blackbird double-edged razor. I really am impressed with the quality, and I was able to get in contact with Shane, the owner of the company, and we talked a little bit about that as well. So we'll go over our discussion, and be on the lookout for a review article on that as well, really in-depth article that I'm currently working on. Our training tip of the week will be using a styptic pencil. What is the purpose of a styptic pencil? We'll go over that as well. We do have a new giveaway sponsored by a special vendor. We'll talk about that too. And what's coming up in the podcast? Yep, we're only a few weeks away from, actually 2 weeks away from the fall seasonal special. So without further ado, let's get on with the show. Okay, guys, so Hurricane Irma came by and left her mark basically all over the state of Florida and Georgia and other states too as well. I was a little worried, I'll be honest, because I live in, most of you guys know I talk about living in Florida. I do live in Southeast Florida. I live in Palm Beach County, so I mean, that's Hurricane Central. We do get a lot of hurricane scares here and there. I did go through the 05 season where we had three in 1 year, two touch landfall, basically within 20 miles of each other, and that was a rough year. And this one was pretty scary because as of Friday of, not last week, but the week prior, the eye of the actual hurricane was actually going through my hometown where I live. And we were getting very worried. My wife and I discussed about evacuating and stuff when it was a hurricane, when it was a Category 5. It just went ahead and made a turn to where it went and hit the other side of the state, which was, it wasn't good for anybody really because the whole state of Florida was affected. We did lose power and everything's back getting back to normal, but man, this place is a mess. And all I'm going to talk about that is I feel for those that are really deeply affected, especially those in the Keys. I do have some friends that live in the Keys that I'm not able to get a contact with yet because there's no cell phone service or water or electricity down there yet. But I just want to say how lucky we're very thankful that we were able to get out of the storm with no issues. Only some minor damage to my home and stuff, which I am currently fixing and working on as we speak. But it was just really scary. So one thing is I want to do a shout out to every single first responder, every single Florida Power and Light employee, and every single and especially Governor Rick Scott, because I think he did a great job getting the state prepared. We had a week of preparation to get ready. I think that you know, there was gasoline, or even though gas was very short and we had to wait on lines, there was still gasoline in the state right before the storm. The curfews were correct. I think that a lot of people were definitely informed, well informed about what was going on and taken care of. So, you know, I know I don't go off too much the beaten path of wet shaving, but this is something that really hit home to me. I also am, my thoughts and prayers and condolences go out to those who were more affected, deeply affected by this storm and Hurricane Harvey as well. As at this moment, I just can't, you know, imagine the devastation of losing your home and stuff like that. And just, it really moves me and really, you know, I've been helping out as much as I can with my neighbors and stuff, but I mean, it's not the same. You know, we weren't hit with a catastrophic storm in this area. So My thoughts and prayers go out to you. If there's anything I can do to help you guys out, if you're listening to the show, please send me an email, joe.whatshavingnews@gmail.com, and I'll do whatever I can to give you a hand. So, guys, again, shout out to all those affected by Hurricane Irma. I hope your lives and everything gets back to normal as soon as possible, and that we can your routines and everything come back too. So, guys, what else is happening in the West Shaving world? Well, the fall seasonal special is coming up. I am currently working on it at the moment, and we have this is going to it's going to air October 2nd, right? I wanted to make sure it was in the month of October because that's really when fall starts, you know. Even though fall starts in a couple of days, I think October really defines fall. So, one thing is, if you are a vendor and you'd like to give something out, so far I have not been contacted by any vendors at the moment regarding new products. I know I've been talking about this for about 2 months. If you are a vendor and you'd like to be featured on the show or you'd like to do a giveaway, please let me know at joe.whatshavingnews@gmail.com, and I'll be more than happy to talk about the product and actually give it away to a lucky listener or listeners. But at the moment, I haven't been contacted, so I'm looking at anything really. If you guys have any, I started my searches and stuff and started getting my stuff together, but you know, sometimes I don't have the personal story that goes with it. So if you are a vendor, contact me as soon as possible. But guys, remember, last year was pretty successful. I think the year before that, Andrew did one too on the previous podcast. So we're going to really, really enjoy it. This is one of my favorite shows to do, so be on the lookout for it. October 2nd is a fall season special. All we're going to do is talk about fall products. So recently about a year ago, I bought a razor. It's a William Evatt, a Evatt straight razor. So this gentleman made forged razors from the years 1790 to roughly 1805. That's all. 15 years, 1790, 1791, until about 1805. I was lucky enough to get one of his earlier straight razors, basically on eBay, for a great price. I know of about four or five of these razors out there. But the reason why I bought a razor before, I have several razors that are forged in the 1700s, and I did talk about it because I am a 1700s buff. I'm a 18th century buff. I really think the lifestyle and the way people lived back then was really, really interesting. And I like to study it and look at it. And just, I think that also with like the evolution of machines and stuff was just coming out of that time span. And just, if you do live in the United States, you got to know that our country was forming back then. It was just getting, the Americans were getting in a lot of trouble back then, put it that way. We were getting a lot of trouble with other countries, and we kind of broke off and did our own thing, and we're still doing that. So I purchased this razor, and it was really in very good shape, and I was able to hone it up, and I do shave with it from periodically, and I did a review article on Sharpologist. So I just want to let you guys know that I was able to find out a lot of information from, you know, various forums and stuff, and found out that I was able to find one of the descendants of the person who actually made this razor, William Evatt. These razors are good quality. I got one of the earlier ones, so mine is probably around 1791 to 1795. I do have a couple other older razors around that age as well, but I don't know much about them. But this one I was able to find a lot about the maker. So, I mean, if you'd like to, I left a link for the article so you can read the whole article. If you're really into this, like, 1700 stuff, I just want to let you guys know you can find these razors on eBay periodically. There are some sites and some groups that will do that. We've talked about this, and, you know, I've talked about it too, that will talk about it. There are some experts out there. And if you ever have a question about old razors, you can all send me the picture and ask me some questions, because I can, if I don't know the answer, I could find out. But it was really, really, I mean, it's something about shaving with something that old is pretty cool. And I just wanted to mention it today before we get into our real discussion of the week, our feature discussion of the week. So, guys, if you want to check it out, the article is, they have the link in the show notes, so check it out and see what you like about those old razors. And also remember, if you ever have any questions, please email me. All right, guys, so this week we're going to talk about the Blackland Razor Company. Now, the Blackland Razor Company is a U.S.-based company owned and operated by Shane and his wife, Marissa. It was formed in 2014, pretty much by accident, which is awesome. You know, it's really, after talking to Shane, the owner, he kind of started off by accident. He was in school, and he was interested in had all these ideas about designing products and stuff, and was getting really into just like being an inventor. The story he kind of told reminds me a little bit of King C. Gillette, on how he just kind of had this idea and just started going with it. You know, I think Shane did something very similar, only, you know, he was, we're just about, well, about 115 years in the future here. So, yeah, so he used a modern technology, started using the computer and using a computer-aided design, which is the CAD programming, learned how to use that, and started messing around with you know, a bunch of stuff. And he was really getting into, about in 2014, getting into traditional wet shaving and just tried messing around with some D razors and actually came out with a 3D printed one. So, I mean, that was pretty cool. He says here it didn't shave very well, but he was messing around with that some more and kept practicing and practicing. He said the first model was actually not so good from his standards, but it was an actual prototype. So he kept on basically developing several dozen, and he made the Blackbird, which is a, if you have seen the Blackbird, it's a nice double-edged razor that's really real balanced and really, I mean, I do have one. I shave with it very often. And he just kept on messing around, basically just kept on trying out new things and came up with a great razor that actually worked. So these razors, just to let you know, and he also makes a single edge razor as well that just came out, the Sabra, which also took just about as many, not as many, I don't think, prototypes, but it did take him a long time to learn how to get it, to get that gem blade. If you guys see that gem blade, it's got a really unique little connector inside of it, to, like a little hole in the middle of those blades. And I think that's what these, what the razor makers are having a struggle with, is having their blade be able to fit and close it tight. So Shane worked on that for a while. He said it did take a lot of trial and error. And but basically, he had to make those razors around the design of the blade. So what's really cool, and I'm just reading through our interview, and I'm going to get more in depth with this in the review article when I do a full review on the Blackland products. So really was awesome about just talking to Shane a little bit about his business. And if you haven't tried one, definitely check them out on their website. Now, the Blackland Razor Company, I left the link for the website in the notes. They're all made in the USA, all right? And he makes three or four. He makes a polished, he makes a satin, and he makes the black oxidized Blackbird. And the Blackbird also comes with an open comb or solid guard bar. You can get one or the other or something like that. I have both of them. I prefer, I don't usually keep any facial hair, so I usually use the solid guard bar. But I like the open comb too. I think it gives a little bit more of an aggression to it. But I think it's a really nice razor. And one thing that when I picked it up was the quality of the handle and the head is spot on. These razors are perfectly balanced, meaning the handle is not too, the razor's not too top heavy. The handle's really firm, really, really solid. And when you pick up the razor, it just feels like a quality piece. I was really impressed with using it when I tried it out. And I do highly recommend, if anybody else gets a chance to try one, to definitely get your hands on one, or you borrow one or something like that, to give it a shot, because it was really, really awesome. I mean, it was just a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to use. Also, the presentation, it comes in a really nice tin with a card inside of it. Now, most razors I know, yeah, sometimes, who cares about the packaging? It has nothing to do with performance. But I think the packaging does take a little bit of the appeal with the razor. And I'll tell you why. It shows just an attention to detail. When you get a quality piece, say you spend, you know, $300 on a brand new razor, I think you really, it deserves to be in a nice box or a custom box or something different, because you know you're spending a lot of money on it. And I know it's an added expense for the vendor, it doesn't mean anything, but I mean it's just presentation. So I was really impressed when I picked up my Blackbird several months ago, and I've been getting to use it, because it was just everything about it's just really nice. I mean, the presentation from the box to the tin to the way it's set up, it just looks like it's just quality, and it really is a quality piece, and I was really impressed with it. So also talking to Shane, we'll talk more about the new products coming out, but they are coming out with some different products. He says that big things are going to happen in 2018. I don't have any of those details yet, but I'm sure when they come out, we'll be talking about them. And also, like a couple other things going on with them is they have some different more aggressive, I believe, Sabra coming out as well. So that's all I know at the moment, okay? But I'm sure we're going to be finding out more too. Also, it's like all these razors are basically made with, individually. They're not made in a process plant. They're not made, they're hand lathed. I mean, they're not hand cut. They're used machines, but they're not done like, oh, like 50 of them at a time. They're done piece by piece. And it takes a long, I mean, we're just going over the, we went over the production process, and it is a long time. And remember, especially the oxidized, the ones that have the, like the paint on them, right? When they actually, the oxidized or raised, the black oxide razors. And when this is with any razor, when they make the paint, they don't just paint them like spray paint. They have to like, they have to be perfect. I mean, the metal has to be 100% even, polished, and ready to go before they can, prepare the actual coating on it. And that's why they last so long. I learned that from a couple other razor makers as well. But that's where really, so when you buy the black oxide razor, or any razor like that, for that point, you can tell when it's been oxidized in. And I hope I'm saying the term right, guys. I don't know much about the processing of making razors, or anodized, or whatever it's called. But that's where it really takes the process. So when you get, the satin ones probably don't take as much because they're not polished. When you get a polished razor that's polished to a mirror shine, I could tell you that one of my friends has done that to many razors. And Frank, if you're listening, I've seen some of your work when you polished out razors. And I know it took him a weekend, if not, of hand polishing just to get it to be very shiny and just perfect. So yes, that is, it does take time. So really, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. Whenever you buy one of these custom razors, it takes a lot of time to produce. So we'll talk more about the actual Blackland processes and the razors in the review article. And when that article comes out, I will mention it on the cast. I'm actually currently writing it at the moment. But yeah, I just want to give a big salute to Shane and his wife, Marissa. And happy birthday, Shane, as well, because I know your birthday is coming up. And just what you guys do for the community is great. You guys do a great job. Really good quality razors that will last a lifetime. So thank you for all that you do, and for giving us the opportunity to talk about your company. And we look forward to seeing some new products in 2018 as well. All right, guys. So we're going to talk about the Styptic pencil. That's right. Something I just was like kind of looking up because, well, I dropped mine and broke it in a million pieces. And I said, well, this is a great idea to talk about on the podcast because, I mean, Styptic pencil is something that's been around for many, 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 many years. And just about everybody has it. And it's about $2 or $3. So why not? So what is a Styptic pencil? A Styptic pencil is used to basically stop bleeding. It's made with a bunch of aluminum stuff in there or whatever. I'm not going to get into the insides of it. I don't know much about it, but I do know how to use one. All right. And you just basically, it's like a little point at the end. If you get a razor cut, you just basically seal it up and you get it a little wet with cold water and it will seal the cut and stop the bleeding right away. Styptic pencils are a kind of a must to have in your shaving kit because you never know when it happens, especially straight razor shaving, and especially if you shave before work. Now, a couple of times I've shaved and I was in a little bit of a rush and I would cut myself, and well, that Styptic pencil saved me from being late to work. The last thing you want to do is use a piece of toilet paper or a paper towel and have it stick on your face when you walk in, when you're going into the office or to your job. So Styptic pencils, usually you can get one for about $3-4. Clubman makes one. A bunch of other artisans make them too. But, you know, they're readily available at most drugstores and grocery stores as well. Why do you need one? Why would you need a Styptic pencil? Well, Styptic pencils are not only good just for shaving, they're good for other things too. It's great to have in a camping kit or a tackle box. Now, I always have one with me in my DOP kit. One time, I also keep one in my tackle box too because I like to go fishing and I like to do stuff like that. And I did cut myself with a fishing hook one time on my finger and was bleeding. And I used a Styptic pencil and it sealed up the blood, basically stopped the bleeding and stopped the cut. And I was able to keep fishing and I didn't have to worry about getting and just band-aid it up and that's it. I didn't have to worry about bleeding too much. So they do have some good uses outside of shaving. It's good to have one always around because you never know if you get a cut. Especially if you're camping or if you leave one in the car, it's probably not something most people do, but you never know when something's going to happen. And they do seal cuts up pretty quick, little minor cuts, and will, keep it clean and everything like that as well. So, there's many uses for these things, for the Styptic pencils, and they're very important to have. And just about every wet shaver, I think, should have one in their DOP kit or in their medicine cabinet, just in case you never know. Even the pros cut themselves here and there. And it's good to have. Now, are they dangerous to use? Well, here's my saying. If they've been using it for 200 years, I never heard of anybody dying from using a styptic pencil or getting sick from using a styptic pencil. Not saying that that's possible. I am saying that I've never heard of it. So I don't know, and I don't think that it's really a harm. So I think you're pretty safe with having one of these in your kit. They make different sizes. I know Clubman makes like a small one. They also make a really, really big one you can get at Walmart. It's like $2. Or you can get one. Some artisans make them as well. So if you're doing an order online and you say you're a few bucks off from the free shipping, why don't you just add on a styptic pencil or a loom block and you'll be set to go. So, yep, styptic pencils, we salute you on the podcast because of what you have done from preventing our mistakes from being a bad one. So also, styptic pencils, we salute you because you have saved us from being late to work for generations, basically. So thank you, styptic pencil. And if you haven't used one or don't own one, try it out. Definitely try and get one. All right, guys. So the Sudsy Soapery Part 3. This is our final giveaway for Sudsy Soapery, right? If you listened, I haven't done the question yet. So I'm going to do one more question for Sudsy Soapery, and then we're going to start with a different raffle coming up. And the question is, I'm going to change it up. I had a question written down. I'm going to do that. What is the weirdest thing you've used a styptic pencil for? It could be anything, you know, within reason. Styptic pencils. What are some of the common uses you've used a styptic pencil for? Your own personal story. It could be, I used it to unclog the drain. I used it to plug a tire. Anything like that. Just a cool story about styptic pencils. All right, I changed the question on the air. I had it written down. I don't want to do that one anymore. I just was thinking about this. And, you know, when we're talking about the camping aspect and keeping one in the car, what do you do with a styptic pencil? All right, tell me all about it in an email, joe.whatshavingnews@gmail.com, and I'll enter you in for the next giveaway. All right, so guys, so the Sudsy Soapery, this is our final one, okay? So you answer that question and you will get the final. I only have a few samples left. And I want to talk about the winner from last week and his name. And Mr. Calvin, you have won. I will be sending you a email shortly with all the information. I'll be sending this out this week. Again, I also want to apologize that I wasn't able to send out last week's until now because of the storm and everything. And the U.S. Postal Service just started servicing us today in South Florida. Today is actual Friday. So I film these shows a little bit in advance, but I will be sending everything out this weekend. So everybody will be getting their stuff, and we're back to normal here in Florida, and everything is just great. All right, guys, so what's going on in the cast? So if you're interested in doing a sponsorship program or a review series or interview or anything like that, please contact me at joe.whatshavingnews@gmail.com. What's in store for the podcast? Well, we have the fall seasonal special coming up. That will be the entire episode of October 2nd will be the fall season special. If you are a vendor, I cannot emphasize this more. If you are a vendor and you'd like to do a giveaway or if you have anything new coming out that you'd like me to know about with a cool story, please email me as soon as you can and we'll get that added onto the show. We're also going to talk about the Alpha Ecliptic Slant. Yep, we're going to talk about that coming up as well. We have some really cool information on that razor as well and some insight on it. And it's kind of like a razor from outer space if you look at it. It's a really, really interesting razor. Looks can be deceiving, and we're going to tell you why on the next podcast as well. So, guys, remember, always, if you have any questions or anything like that, contact me at joe.whatshavingnews@gmail.com. Remember, our show is powered by sharpologist.com, what your father didn't teach you about shaving. Special thanks to Mark, aka Mantic59, for letting us use his platform for everything that he does in the wet shaving community. The team at Sudsy Soapery for their generous donation of the contest samples. Thank you very much, guys, for the samples, and we really appreciate it. And most of all, I'd like to thank you, the listeners. No matter what, the show would not go on without you guys, and you are the most important part of this podcast. Also, all of you that have been affected by any natural disasters or anything, if there's any way I can help you out at all, please send me an email at joe.whatshavingnews@gmail.com and I will mention it on the show. I'll do whatever I can to help you out. And just remember, always be safe. Don't forget to check out my blog at shavestraightandsafe.com. And remember to check out my YouTube channel. The link is in the show notes if you'd like to check out some videos. I will be doing some more videos momentarily. And remember, if you're interested in anything and you have any questions, contact me, joe.whatshavingnews@gmail.com. Guys, have a great week. I'll see you for this fall seasonal special. We're going to have really a lot of fun that week, so don't miss it. And just have happy shaving, everyone. Shave straight and shave safe. Thanks again.